B-Pod Studios.
The Mike Missinelli Show. Seven-five, the Fanatic.
Mike Missinelli. 97.5 FM, Philly's first FM sports station.
We on an uneven playing field, top of the totem pole. 97.5, Mike Missinelli Show. Si, senor, we numero uno. And internationally large, just like a sumo. 2-6, Monday to TGIF. Mikey misses the Philly where Hades the wide clef. A man of the people, ambassador. Put this bull in the ring, they turn the matadors. All competition completely non-existent. Burning up the phone lines, record number listeners. All the biggest names and the hottest topics. A runaway train in the drive time slot. It's kinda hard to stop us. On remote, standing ovation just like an opera. The best show on earth, I feel that's very proper. The most electric sports talk, ain't no need to shock ya. Turn your radios up, Mike's ready to rock ya.
The Mike Missinelli Show, 97.5, The Fanatic. We broadcast from the Xfinity Studio only from Comcast, 97.5, The Fanatic, NBC Sports Philadelphia. Welcome to radio and TV listeners on a Tuesday where, you know, the anticipation, I'm excited, actually, about the Eagles now. I wasn't excited last week because that game was a drone. I knew it was going to be a drone. But now it gets challenging. Now we will actually see. By the end of these three games, I think we will see what we have here with this team. By the end of three games, we will be able to proclaim whether they are actually good enough to win an NFC title. This is the big test. And I don't know about DeSean Jackson. I can't count on it. Because people are saying, all right, well, as soon as DeSean comes back, they're going to light it up. But when he comes back, like, I'm not one of these guys that says, okay, a guy who's been idle for so long, all of a sudden comes back and creates magic. I don't know about DeSean Jackson. I don't know what kind of a boost he's going to give this team. So I've got to evaluate the Eagles right now without DeSean Jackson and whether they're good enough to get through this period. A lot of people think he's going to play against Dallas. I hope he plays against Dallas. It gives them another dimension. But I'm almost like dismissing DeSean Jackson as being a part of this team anytime soon. So, are they good enough? I'm excited to see if they are. The Minnesota Vikings are not a great team. The Dallas Cowboys are not a great team. The Buffalo Bills are not a great team. All three games are on the road. The better team should be able to go into those venues and win a game. And we'll see if the Eagles are the better team. We'll see if the game planning is good enough for Carson Wentz to put some actual points on the board. This team has not put actual points on the board yet. And they need to do that in these three games on the road. All right. So many things to talk about today. The Sixers open up the preseason tonight. Wildly anticipated. It'll be on NBC Sports Philadelphia. I'm going to be glued to it. You know that. We're all going to be glued to it because this is a team that we know legitimately can contend for a championship. So we're invested from day one. The backdrop of this game is really interesting. The story of today's Inquirer that the Sixers should have canceled this game because of the acrimonious relationship that we have with China, and also the fact that the Houston Rockets general manager Daryl Morey tweeted out something that was, well, anti-Chinese when he said that the situation in Hong Kong is untenable, and that we have a responsibility not to support a government whose track record on human rights is not that good. Now, I don't know how you feel about that. I think a lot of Sixer fans want to kind of put that out of their mind that they're playing this team from China. There actually happens to be an American on the team, right? Andrew Nicholson is on the squad, right?
He's their best player.
Yeah, so, like, we're caught in this moral dilemma, and I'm trying to figure out, I need... See, a lot of people say, well, Mike, well, you bring up politics and blah, blah, blah. I'm not bringing up politics. I'm curious to know where we stand on China. Because the president is putting trade sanctions on China, which would indicate that he dislikes the country in a way they're doing business. But on the other hand, he's asking them to investigate Joe Biden. So, Cairo, can you where do I stand here? I'm betwixt and between here. Where how should I feel about China as far as their relationship with us?
You should be uncomfortable. I can say that. And this is I'm taking politics out. I am disappointed in how the NBA has handled this overall. Because to me, those human rights type violations do matter to me.
Okay, so you think that the NBA, by ignoring the bad human relations track record of China, should not be willing to engage in the celebration of this Chinese team playing the NBA teams?
Right, but to their defense, a lot of players are making a lot of auxiliary money through China. There's a bunch of them who have special shoe deals in China that don't exist in America. They're making a lot of money. And I can understand why a league as a whole, where the NBA union is pretty strong, it would be difficult for them to cut off that money to those players. So I get it, but I say forget that, because I would say the same thing about the NFL, and I've been very critical of the NFL of how they handle basically everything off the field. I have to also be critical of how the NBA has handled this. It hasn't been good. And the people of Hong Kong want democracy. We're America. Mm-hmm. We should recognize what they want. And that's just, to me, that's a natural thing. That's not really politics.
So we shouldn't patronize the Chinese team.
That's where I'm a hypocrite, because I'm going tonight. I'm going to the game tonight. And that's completely hypocritical. And I admit that I'm completely hypocritical, because I'm going to be in the building. But no, we shouldn't.
Well, but you're not in the building to patronize the Chinese team. You're in the building because you're curious to see the Sixers. And so I don't really have a stand on this. If the NBA decided to stand up and cancel this tour, I'd be perfectly fine with that. I would be. Because at least you're taking a stand. And for James Harden to come out and apologize for the words of Daryl Morey, like, dude, you kidding me? Like, a minority player like James Harden is going to criticize someone's stance on human rights violations? Where does Harden get off? Because he's made $1 zillion in his state. Did he throw his integrity out the window when he cashed that check?
Yep, completely. And I completely agree with you. You don't call out your boss.
You don't call out anybody.
Right.
If they have an opinion that is special to them, which is in their heart, you respect their opinion. You don't have to agree with it. But I respect Daryl Morey's right to believe whatever he wants to believe.
And that is what the commissioner came forward and said. He's going to support that free speech, because there was some talk that Morey was going to lose his job, because I guess the Houston owner makes a bunch of money over in China, and he didn't want to mess up his money. But I guess Silver basically came to make a statement. You're not firing him for this. You have to find a basketball reason to fire him.
Well,
you're
not
gonna fire him for this.
And is there anything anything more indicative of like what he's actually talking about than firing him for saying something that he believes in?
Exactly.
That's the whole point.
Yeah,
exactly.
And Silver handled it the right way by saying he respects what Daryl Morey had to say.
Right, he did. And I think he was putting up a firewall saying, yeah, if you're going to fire him, you do it after the year for a basketball reason. You will not just be firing him for saying that he sides with Hong Kong, which is not at all controversial.
Right. What was that hum in there? Did you hear that hum, Tim?
I'm trying to figure that out.
It sounds like the Jaws thing.
It's in my headphones. That's why I was trying to figure it out.
What's that hum? It's like Jaws is coming.
No, that's not. That, yeah, I hear.
It's like a reverb.
All right, move
it's
your phone.
It's on me.
Move your phone. Sometimes it's the cell phone, the mics and stuff, or the computer. We'll figure it out during the break.
Here comes the shark.
It's when I talk, too.
All right. There's this Penn State thing I want to get into a little later. There's still the matter of the Phillies. I got to be honest with you. I'm going to give you an opinion here on John Middleton, who I like, and I've had a couple conversations with him. I think he's exhibiting tremendous weakness right now. Now, for him to need to go around the country and talk to players and get their opinions, which is going to be a tainted opinion. Nobody is really going to bury Gabe Kapler. These players don't have enough gumption to come out and say, yeah, you need to make a change. They don't want to be the person responsible for a guy losing his job, because that gets through baseball and then you get tainted and somebody's going to come out with it. So what's the point of going around the country talking to players? You've seen enough to make a decision. Stand up. You're the damn owner of the team. They underachieved under this manager. You want to keep the other guys? I understand it. You committed to him a game of contract. This manager's got to go. You got to. You don't need to talk to players in order. And what's going to happen now is you're going to get feedback that you shouldn't fire Gabe Kapler, and you're going to come back with the same thing. And then the season's going to start, and we're going to have the same dissatisfaction with this manager, and you're going to lose your fan base early in the season. Come on, man. Have some foresight. You're a successful human being adult. Make a decision here to clip them. 610-632-0975. Mike Missanelli Show. That's how you get in. 97.5 The Fanatic, NBC Sports Philly.
The Mike Missanelli Show.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Picking five of Carrie Underwood's best music videos was no easy task, but after some debate, we landed on five we believe rise to the top. Did Carrie's 2014 hit Something in the Water make our top five? Find out when you text Carrie to 45911 and scroll through the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Carrie to 45911 to get your eyes on our favorite Carrie Underwood music videos.
The Fanatic.
It is 2:16 on the Mike Missanelli Show, and of course the 2 o'clock hour is brought to us by Ferguson HVAC Line Conklin. If you're an HVAC contractor, visit Ferguson's counter location. They're on North 7th Street, and you can find equipment, parts, supplies for every heating and cooling job. All right, let's kick off the Twitter poll for today, brought to us by Paul B. Moyer and Sons. Attention all landscapers, if you're looking to repower a zero turn or a walk behind mower, Moyer has the best sales around for an edge replacement in stock. Visit paulbmoyer.com for details. Natalie Eganoff.
Thanks, Mike. Today's poll, does the NBA's relationship with China concern you? Early votes indicate 30% say yes, 70% say no. So most people don't
70%
care.
70% say no, and that's fine. I mean, China is this... Like, we're so obsessed with other enemies that we don't look at China like it's a true enemy yet. We don't. American companies do business with them. We trade with them. And you know, so, like, the immediate enemies are like, if there was a team from North Korea, say, that came here, do you think the NBA would...
No
way.
They would not allow that to happen. No way in the world.
The Taliban basketball team. You think they'd be allowed to do a tour?
No. And the other part is a lot of Americans don't know the specifics of what's going on in Hong Kong and kind of the agreement that was made when it got passed back from Britain back to China and what was supposed to happen in Hong Kong and how lately Hong Kong has been stepping on the line. But people aren't paying attention to that because it's a world away.
Right.
If that was happening in Canada... and some other nation was stepping on Canada and it was right next to us, we would have a lot, we'd be more engaged.
Exactly.
Yeah, I think it's just lack of awareness of the situation.
It's lack of awareness is what it is, which is why 70% say it doesn't bother them.
Yeah.
And the other part is there are millions of people in slaves right now in China who have no way of getting their message out to tell us what's going on. And if it was another nation, somebody would go on Twitter, even if they couldn't do TV or Facebook, and do a video, and we'd see it and we go, oh, that's bad. China has no access to that. So it's very easy for us to ignore it, even if we did want to care about it.
Yeah, but it is really superficial and transparent what the NBA is doing here to open business avenues in China, and that seems to be their main focus. And I'm bothered by the fact that they don't seem to be bothered in the least, that the dollar is the most important thing to them, which rankles me a little bit.
Completely.
And people are like, oh my gosh, because you're a liberal. It's just right and wrong. And I mean, come on. Let's face it. Like, we accept the decline in human rights in this country. We shouldn't. So why should we do business with a country? I don't know. All right, let's go to the phones. Hirsch in Philly starts things off. Hirsch, you're on 97.5 The Fanatic.
Hey, Mike, what's up?
What's up, Hirsch?
Not a whole bunch. I was hoping to get your opinion. Maybe Ty can chime in as well. It's an old subject, and it's been going on for a couple of years now, but the Ben Simmons not shooting the jumpers worried me so long, and I've always said to myself, okay, I've been saying to myself, this is the year. This is when we've been told he's working on it, he's going to take it, he's more confident about taking it, and then D. Lynam says she watched the scrimmage, and he didn't even think. You know, I know it's just a scrimmage. I understand that I'm probably jumping the gun, but it's just a scrimmage. He never thought
about it. We talked about this exactly yesterday. Did you listen yesterday? Yeah, we're talking about it because it bothers me, too. It bothers me that in a scrimmage, he didn't take a jump shot, which is my biggest fear here. And see, there were people at this scrimmage. And my assessment of Ben Simmons is he's afraid to show people something that he doesn't do well.
This was the first
time he had a chance to do it, and creeped him.
Do you mean media or do you mean?
There were 3,500 people watching that scrimmage.
I didn't know that. I wasn't aware of that. And that's where I would think he's got the chance to at least prove that he's willing to pull up the jumper because it's a more comfortable situation when the real season starts.
That's why I'm not conned by any iPhone videos.
Right, and that's all I have to go by is like a YouTube and that kind of thing. Now, tonight, are they televising the game?
Yes.
It will be televised. Now, if he doesn't pull up some jumpers tonight, I'm really going to start worried about what we're looking forward to because we're a championship
I think you and everybody else is thinking the same thing. People want to believe that he's going to shoot it. I am of a different cloth. Until I see it in actual NBA games against actual NBA defenses,
right.
I don't buy it.
That's exactly where I'm at, and I've been worried for so long, and now he's just got me more worried as the season is beginning.
Well,
I'm just hoping.
Listen,
he may come out
tonight fire. Like, you know, every game is a window into his soul.
That's what I'm hoping, that he fires tonight, because this will be the first actual sight I get of him. I haven't seen anything other than, like you said, social media. That's all I've seen. I want to see him in real-time game. Even if it's a preseason or a scrim, I don't care. I want to see him because I can
would
read
think
him
he would
better
have,
that way.
He would have room to shoot it tonight. I don't think China has a Scottie Pippen they're going to throw on him. I don't know. Tyrone, I know you're not worried about it. You're in denial.
No, I'm not in denial.
Every time there's a video that comes out, you send it to me.
Oh, yeah. Listen.
Send me a video. Somebody took it with a cell phone. He shot a jump shot in practice. Look at this. Yeah, good.
Now, I will say, tonight, I have done that. I'm completely guilty of that. I have done that.
Oh, look at this. Your boy shooter. Yeah, okay.
Tonight, I don't know. I know everybody's set to play. As of right now, everybody's going to play. Mm-hmm. If he plays, he needs to shoot. Not a three-pointer. Just, you know.
Well, let me ask you this.
Shoot something.
Why would he not shoot a jump shot in a scrimmage? That's the question that is perplexing me. Why would he not? Come up with reasons on why he would not.
He was getting to the hole without needing it. That's my only thought. That's the only answer I can have.
That's been his explanation for 3 years why he doesn't take a jump shot.
But we know for a fact that there have, when Kawhi D's him up and certain people D him up, Horford in the past, different people, he has not been able to get to the rim. Now tonight, China won't be able to stop him from getting to the rim. But so what? I want to actually see him drive and intentionally stop short and just pull up. And I don't even care if he makes it. Just get in the habit of shooting in a game.
Is there any correlation to you that there were 3,500 people watching him in that scrimmage?
It is not.
No correlation.
To me, I think old habits die hard, and I don't think it was necessarily the people. But I will say, there's going to be a decent crowd down there tonight. They're going to be hype. Everybody's going to see the video board for the first time. People are hype about this, as you mentioned, in the open. People are excited. If he doesn't shoot it tonight, I'll be an 8 out of 10 concerned.
The Sixers, ladies and gentlemen, are a 50.5-point favorite in tonight's game. Now, I'm going to go out on a big, fat limb and say that during the course of this game where they are 50.5-point favorites, he'll have an open jump shot. Now, maybe I'm speaking out of turn, but as a 50.5-point favorite, I can't think the Chinese are going to lock them down defensively.
It's very fair.
All right. Let's go to Chris and Jenkintown. Chris, you're on 97.5 The Fanatic. Chris.
Hey, guys. Hey, Mike. What's up, buddy?
What's up, Chris?
Just a quick comment and then a question.
Mm-hmm.
First, my question is about Jalen Ramsey from Jacksonville.
Yeah.
What is going on with this guy? Because, you know, it came out a couple days ago that the owner, Khan, says, I won't take 4 first rounders for him.
Yeah, but yet again,
the guy won't play. So what goes on? I mean, does he get fined or does he lose game?
He's not getting fined now because he's got an excuse. It's
come on.
Well, listen,
that's garbage.
Well, it may be garbage, but the NBA Players Association, I mean, the NFL Players Association protects guys if they have a legitimate reason for not playing. Now, if he holds out, he doesn't have a legitimate reason. If he goes home and says, I'm not playing, but so far it's been a back, so far it's been the birth of his child, he's been able to cover his butt.
That's what I'm saying, Mike.
Yeah,
I mean, he's making up.
The owner knows it's BS too. The owner doesn't want to trade him.
But what I'm saying is, there's no repercussions to him about losing his money for the year.
No,
that sounds like an NBA type of deal.
Where these guys
want to go out and play for another team?
Well, forget the guys. It's the owner that's put up with it. It's the owner's problem. He doesn't want to trade him, and he's willing to be made a fool of.
All right. And my next quick comment was about Penn State. I'm going up there to the Michigan game next Saturday.
Yep.
For the next 5 weeks, it gets real now for them. And I heard you early in your comments saying about Penn State. You were going to talk
about the football team. There was a letter that was sent to one of the players that's racist in nature.
Oh, no. Okay.
And I'll read that. And the next break, we'll get into that a little bit.
Okay, I appreciate it. Well, I was just wondering if this guy was going to get paid or not this year. That's all.
Yeah, he's still getting paid. Now, may come to shove. He may run out of Allen Iverson excuses.
Say 4 weeks from now, he's still got injuries going on, which, you know, the doctor's going to say yes or no on. I don't even know if the doctor's in on it.
Well, here's the thing about, pain. If a doctor says, well, he looks okay to me, and the guy goes, I got pain in my back, the Players Association is going to protect that guy.
All year long?
Possibly. I think we ought to forget about Jalen Ramsey. I think the ship is too far past the Baltimore Pier for us to care about it.
Yeah, you're right. The owner said he doesn't want to trade him.
Mm-hmm.
And he still technically has a year left on his contract, so he could do all this year. And they could say, all right, well, then you're going to do it again next year, too?
Here's the thing about this con guy. He's thinking, now with this new enthusiasm for the team, with Minshew coming in, their defense playing, they're playing okay. He's thinking that eventually the guy will relent and go, you know what? This is not a bad place to stay. Now, I may be misguided, but he's the guy with the money. And what's he care about losing his salary? That's a multi-billionaire, right? How much is he paying Jalen Ramsey this year?
Oh, he's only paying like $4 million
this
year.
That's what I mean. It's no big deal. He might as well pay the $4 million and wait him out.
Yeah, you're right.
Let's go to Marvin in Pottstown. Marvin, you're on 97.5 The Fanatic. Marvin.
Mikey and Mitch, it's been a long time.
What's up, Marvin? Hold on a second. We got a bad line there in Pottstown. But we'll put you in hold. We'll see if we can clear that static up. Mark in Huntington Valley, you're on 97.5 The Fanatic. Mark.
Hey, Mikey, Mitch, how you doing?
What's up, buddy?
Okay, I'm going to make my Phillies point here. I think I got a theory to what's going to happen. So we know that Matt Klentak doesn't want to fire Gabe Kapler, where on the other hand, maybe John Middleton does want to fire Kapler, and obviously the two have a disagreement. Now, I read on MLB.com, there was a report that if Kapler was fired, that supposedly Buck Showalter has mutual interest in the Phillies job. Mm-hmm. And we all know that Andy McPhail and Buck Showalter have ties from their days when they were in Baltimore. So this is what I'm thinking.
Klentak worked for the Orioles.
Right. Mm-hmm. So here's what I'm thinking. I'm thinking that maybe Middleton and McPhail had a conversation. And, you know, obviously when two sides have a disagreement, you know, you sometimes come to a compromise. So I'm thinking this is what the compromise is going to be. Like, okay, this is what Andy McPhail is saying to Middleton. McPhail is saying, okay, if you're going to fire Gabe Kapler, the one guy that I would hope that you would consider bringing in is Buck Showalter. If you want to fire Kapler, that's fine. But I would just ask that you bring in, you know, someone who I feel comfortable with, and that would obviously be Buck Showalter.
We don't know that, though, because Buck Showalter is not an analytics guy, really. See, they were tied in before analytics came into play with Klentak, and McPhail's a convert, really. I don't know how Klentak would feel about having Buck Showalter. I think he's more of an old school than an analytics guy. But it shouldn't matter. See, here's what you're doing. when you put, you know, you're looking at it logically. When two sides have a disagreement, there needs to be a compromise. There's not two sides having a disagreement. One weighs heavier than the other. Why is Middleton even getting himself into a situation where he's allowing those guys to influence him? Make a decision. You're the money man. You know that Kampler didn't do a good enough job. Whatever they feel, whatever, if you're going to hurt Klentak's feelings, so what? He's a young general manager. Yeah. I'm John Middleton signing the checks.
Yeah, and that's what I don't understand. I mean, where if I'm Matt Klentak, what I'm saying to myself is, well, you know what? If John Middleton is not going to give me the authority to choose which manager that I, you know, want to have here, he might as well just, you know, turn in his resignation and go find another job where, you know, he'll have final say over everything.
He doesn't have any clout to question anything that Middleton does. He's a young general manager. It's his first foray as a general manager. At the end of the day, happened. Klentak resigns? He's not going to resign? I don't get it, man. All right, Marvin, you back with us? Go ahead, Marv.
Yo, man, what's going on? Can you guys catch me now?
Yeah, we got you. I don't know how you got on. I didn't even push your button. How'd you leak into the system, man? Go ahead.
Because I think
I was in the middle of a rant and I heard you in the background.
They logged in on me.
I heard you breathing. Go ahead.
I just wanted to talk about the birds. And I've been trying to tell people, you know, after the Jets game, you can be happy about the Eagles, but don't be jubilant because it's, you know, as solid as the Jets defense is, they're not world beaters. I think the real test really comes against this Vikings team where you have players like Xavier Rhodes, Harrison Smith, you know, Hunter just locking down that secondary and locking down that front seven of the Vikings. When you have Adam Thielen and when you have Stephon Diggs on the outside, it's going to be hard for this Eagles defense, this secondary, to be able to get to these receivers and be able to shut them down. So I think this Vikings team is going to be a really good test to really give this Eagles team a true identity. Are we a Super Bowl contender or are we a phony?
I totally agree with you. I already think they're going to lose the game. So you're tapping into what my fears are. I think the Vikings right now win the game.
I think they do too. I think it's going to be like a 31-23 kind of score. But you can't. What you can't have is, and I know these last two games didn't really constitute Carson Wentz throwing for, you know, more than 200 yards, because I believe both games he threw for under 200 yards. But you can't do that against the Vikings. You got to be able to throw the ball, because this is, at the end of the day, this is a passing league. One of these receivers really has to step up. Mm-hmm. And a lot of people talk about DeSean Jackson opening up the field. DeSean Jackson is not the only fast guy on this team. You have Nelson Aguilar. You have Matt Collins, and they're
not true.
Dude, seriously, wait, let's reverse. Let's go back in time. So then pretend you didn't say that. They have Nelson Aguilar, Matt Collins. What?
I understand that.
Marvin, stop.
But I'm not saying they need to make catches like DeSean Jackson, but both of these players have respectable enough speed to cause the safety to come over the top.
What is it? You got it? Like, what's your TV? Is it like a newfound TV? Does it make guys faster than they are?
Like,
you got it on fast forward your television when you watch
the Eagles? They don't have DeSean Jackson speed. They don't have DeSean Jackson speed. That's not what I'm saying.
Listen, here's the bottom line. I don't think the Eagles right now, they don't seem to be able to score enough to be able to beat a good team. Without DeSean Jackson on the field, they're not a 30-35 point team. And I think that's going to hurt them in this game.
So here's the only thing that I think the Eagles will win, right? Because mm-hmm. what the Vikings like to do is they like to run the football 30 times a game mm-hmm. with Dalvin Cook. Uh-huh. And one of the Eagles' strengths is their front seven.
Yeah.
So if you can stop Dalvin Cook and force Kirk Cousins to put the ball in the air, that's the only way you win.
All right. Nelson Aguilar, Matt Collins. Dude.
In fact,
they make no impact whatsoever on this team, both of them.
And what he's not recognizing is when Deshaun's in the game, they have the corner cover him and then the safety come over and help. They feel very comfortable, all defenses, singling up either one of those guys. Those mm-hmm. safeties don't move an inch for those guys. With Deshaun, those safeties absolutely move with a cornerback, thus freeing it up for other people. That's the whole point. No one double teams. Mm-hmm. The only person they double team right now is Ertz. They don't double team those other receivers. They don't. So I don't know what he's talking about. They double-teamed Deshaun damn near every play because of how fast he is. They don't double-team Mac Hollins. Come on.
My sense is they're going 1-2 in this stretch, right? So 1-2 still really doesn't knock them out.
They would have to
really come on gangbusters in their home games against good teams, but 1-2 wouldn't knock them out.
They still win a division, but they cannot win the Super Bowl.
Probably impossible. Not. You're so probably right about that.
And that's why I can't let it happen.
So they've got to go at least 2-1.
2-1. And then there's a scenario where then after that they can win 3, lose 1, win 4, season over. You walk away from it 12-4 or so, got a bye, you got a chance.
They just haven't been generating consistent offense.
It's been more consistent than you think.
I don't know.
I think before last game, like they scored 2 touchdowns. They were averaging like 29.5. The offense hasn't been that bad. The secondary's been really bad.
Offense wasn't that great against the Jets.
That's what I said before the 2 touchdowns. Yeah, but well, the previous 4 games, they averaged 29.5 points a game.
Well, I look at the last one.
Well, you can't only look at one. You got to look at all of them.
Like, well, are they progressing offensively? They seem to hit a wall.
I think they weren't fully engaged.
All right. Tony and Trenton, you're on 97.5 The Fanatic. Tony.
Yo, Mikey Miss.
What's up, hey, Tony?
First of all, I did some research for you. You can buy that Mickey Mantle jersey with the mantle on the back on Amazon for $35.
That's why it's $35.
What?
Listen, there are 2 jerseys in the history of sports, as far as baseball, maybe in all sports, that are the most recognizable jerseys ever that don't need a name. One is number 3, the other is number 7. Am I right?
That's right, and nobody ever wore a name on the back of a Yankee jersey, so I just backed up.
That's what I mean. I don't get it. Like, why would you taint that kind of a legacy by putting a guy's name on the back and cheapening the jersey?
Okay, well, that's one of the reasons why I called. The other reason, I'm a 60-year Philly fan.
Mm-hmm.
And I watched the playoffs last night, the 4 teams in the National League. We are so far down the food chain to compete for a National League pennant. Mm-hmm. It's ridiculous.
Yeah.
I mean, last night at one point during the Dodger-Nats game, I had it on in the background noise, and the Dodgers had the bases loaded, and they announced mm-hmm. it was on each base. And somebody goes, and they're all rookies. And I'm like, my God, we don't even have 3 rookies on our team that play. And, you know, it's like, and we're probably number 6. We're probably even behind the Brewers right now for, you know, being a decent team in the National League. And 1 year of off-season transactions isn't going to get this team back up into the playoffs.
No, you're right. But they have to be, they have to really rebuild. I don't expect them to be a contender next year either.
Oh, and one last thing.
Mm-hmm.
One name I haven't heard mentioned for a possible Philly job manager. What about Mike Socia?
Not an analytics guy. Clashed with Klentak in California. No chance.
Well, he was with Klentak with the Angels, though.
That's what I'm saying. He clashed with him. Klentak was the analytics guy. He's got no chance for this job.
Don't bring in Showalter with that, you know, what he's been doing in Baltimore. I mean, come on. What the heck is he doing?
Showalter's a good manager. He had the Orioles overachieving for years.
Yeah.
He did. Yeah. They were contending there for a while. That's the toughest division in baseball, man.
Oh, and one real quick last thing.
Yeah.
This thing with Simmons and the 3-point shot,
mm-hmm.
this is not Rocky 2 where he switches and becomes a right-handed boxer, you know, to surprise Apollo Creed. It's an 82-game season. What are you going to do opening night? Say, hey, look, I can shoot a 3 now? It's like, shoot the damn thing now. Come on, just get it over with, you know.
Just get it over with. Well, that's the thing. It's in his head. There are people around that are going to see that I didn't make the first jump shot, and I'm going to feel all this angst in the arena. I can't go there. It's my biggest fear. Iconic numbers. I got 3, 7, 23 in basketball. What else? That like just bangs out at you. There are 3 numbers in the history of sports that bang out at you.
Right, and it can hit you with basketball. It can hit you either way. You either, if you're older, you pick Jordan, and if you're young, you pick LeBron. But either way, 23. That's what I'm saying, 23 right. Screams.
But 23 screams Jordan more than it screams LeBron.
Not if you're 20.
Maybe not, but that means you're misguided. Babe Ruth shouldn't scream, too. But we all know that 3, 7 are the most iconic numbers ever.
Part of that reason is because 3 was kind of how many threes have there been other than him? Nobody followed up. Like, if Barry Bonds wore three, there might be kids who say, bleep, Ruth, I'm Bonds. But he didn't.
All right, like 32 is even tainted. Football, that's a big number, but it's diluted because right. a lot of greats wore 32.
Right.
So those are the only three numbers that stand out as iconic, recognizable numbers.
For a while there, I thought 56 was going to be that number, but there's been a lot of bad 56s, too. Because LT, and it was so great, blah, 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 and it's just, there's been a lot of bad 56s. Yeah, so you're probably right. I'm trying to think, wait a minute, hockey, no, is there any hockey numbers?
I don't know, what was Gretzky's number?
99.
I think 99 is pretty iconic, I think.
Yes, for sure.
Yeah, you can't just be walking around wearing a 99.
And everybody knows who 99
yeah, yeah.
is.
Nah, Gretzky's up there. Listen, just like everything else, hockey's less popular, but Gretzky, he's a GOAT. He transcends the game.
He could be easily considered one of the greatest athletes of all time.
He is. Hockey or not, he transcends. 99.
99 is such an odd number, though.
But no,
that's why.
It's legit. And nobody remembers any NFL 99 like they would.
No, there is no iconic NFL number.
No, none. I mean,
maybe 12 will be.
That's, yeah, but that's about it.
Yep. 610-632-0975. Don't forget, we have the big green giveaway. Trying to give away $1,000 at 4 o'clock. On the other side, we'll talk about this Penn State racist letter sent to a Penn State starting player, which has now gone viral. I'm sorry? What's that? Oh, and we're being taken over today by pierogies. That's correct. Pierogies have a hold on us today. The show takeover today. Mrs. T's Pierogies, the unofficial pierogi of National Pierogi Day. The official unofficial pierogi of National Pierogi Day. Mrs. T's, baby. We're back after this.
The Mike Missinelli Show.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most of us, Keith Urban also has a bucket list. You may be surprised to learn what is and is not on his. Text Keith to 45911 to read and learn more about the central theme of Keith's bucket list. Get a link to the story sent right to your phone when you text Keith to 45911. Go inside country music at BackstageCountry.com.
The Fanatic.
A lot of people are sounding off on the number. 42 has got to be an iconic number in baseball. So 3-7-42 would be the baseball numbers. And people are saying Wilt's 13. Yeah, Wilt's 13 is not that iconic. Did he wear 13 all the time? I don't remember what the Lakers him wearing 13.
I'm honestly not sure, but I never looked at any Wilt number as that level.
Yeah,
Wilt's iconic, but his number's not.
You're right. Wilt is larger than life, but his number isn't.
Jordan, the number was part of it, partially because of the shoes and the branding and how he was branded. That 23 was everything.
Yes.
And
yeah.
When he switched from 23, it was a huge deal. Then when he switched back, it was a big deal.
Yeah.
23 stands alone in the NBA. It just does.
Yeah, you're right about that. Okay. They're doing a redo of this studio here. I don't know whether to wind my butt or scratch my watch here with what's going on.
What happened?
When is it supposed to be done? I've been told now for 3 months that they're rebuilding this place, and not one nail has been put into a damn wall.
Well, I will have to walk you down, Mike. A tremendous amount of work has been done.
Really?
Yeah,
tremendous amount.
I took a whole tour in our studio. All I see are like a couple metal bars that are like braced up against the wall.
Because they needed to have a place for all these people to move to so they could start on that part. Because everybody moved, except for us.
Yeah, we're going to be here by ourselves for 6 months.
Everybody moved. For 6 months, it's going to be us.
We're like on our own little island.
To build something for all these people to be housed for 6 months before they eventually get moved because there's going to be other stuff going on.
So where we are right now is not where we're going to be probably next week.
Where are they? What are they building? I can't get an idea of what's going to happen.
Other stations, too. There's going to be some stations that aren't currently on this location. They're going to be at this location. And all of our stations, you're basically going to be able to walk on one side of the building, all the way through is going to be just our stuff.
Yeah, we're all going to be together.
All going to be together.
Because you know how we're the kind of like
we're sporadically placed around the building?
Stepchild now all the way down on the one side of the building where nobody sees us.
But I like that.
That's going away.
No, that's going away.
I don't want to mingle with people.
It's going away.
Well, you're going to have 6 months of solitude because we're not going to see a soul.
Soul for 6 months. But after the 6 months, we're going to be our direct bosses and stuff, and our direct people will be close.
Let me ask you this. Am I going to have a nice place to sit? Is it going to be a nice place to sit?
In 6 months, yes. Very nice.
But until...
In 6 months.
But until then, they're moving us back into that little hallway right there.
Yeah, that's
behind
where we're
going to
be. They're putting our desk and stuff over there.
So we're going to be like lined up along the windows, and we're going to have to sit next to each other like we're in school.
It's very confusing.
I agree.
You know, there's a dangling electrical thing. There's one fake air conditioner over here. I don't know what the hell's going on.
There's one in my cube.
It's affecting my mood. Frankly.
Well, but we're going to be moved, I think, a week from Monday.
Okay.
And then that's when all that phase comes. But there's been a lot of work done. It actually looks really good.
I'll get to this Penn State thing in the 3 o'clock hour because I don't want to wedge it in here. So let's go back to the phones. Michael and Chalfont. Michael, you're on 97.5 Fanatic. Michael?
How are you?
What's up, man?
First time caller.
Thanks, buddy.
I got this thing with the NBA in China is I know you've covered it a lot, but my question is it going to last the whole season? I mean, is this something so big, so politically big, that it hangs over the NBA season?
Well, they're not going to play Chinese teams all season. This is just an exhibition.
But you know how politics are. Players get asked questions constantly.
No, this is out of sight, out of mind. After this, they play a couple games. There's going to be no reason to think about Chinese basketball or China involved in basketball after this exhibition season.
Okay. All right. It just reminds me of what we just went through with the NFL. And I'm just hoping that it's not the same kind of situation.
Well, that was an American situation on the home front. So obviously it was in the news every day when they get something like that. The Chinese team is going to go back to China, and we're not going to be thinking about it anymore.
Okay, that sounds good. And then the other thing...
You got a problem where do you stand on it?
Oh, my God, it's...
Like, are you...
You're talking the largest populated country in the world.
Well, yeah, but do you believe that the NBA should have taken a stand and not played these games?
I agree with the commissioner. I mean, you know, we have the freedom to speak our mind, so to speak.
Mm-hmm.
And Tyrone made a point earlier on the show that if this thing was like right next door in Canada, you know, it would really be something serious.
But that's not what I'm asking. I'm asking you your personal feeling on it.
My personal feeling is that sports and politics don't mix.
All right, did they mix in 1980 when the President Jimmy Carter boycotted the Olympics to create worldwide awareness of Soviet aggression?
I remember that, and I'm not quite sure what my feeling was on that. I felt bad for the athletes that couldn't go and compete, but yet I kind of understood where he was coming from, too.
Okay.
So it was a mixed bag for me there, Mike.
I'm getting you to think about this particular situation in that context.
Yeah. I have to agree. It's I think one thing as far as human rights and what we have here in our country compared to what they have, and then I think about, you know, every game, some reporter asking a player, what do you think about this situation in Hong Kong? And what do you think about it?
Yeah, but that's not going to happen. It's not going to happen. The Hong Kong situation is not going to be brought up. It's only a current event because they're playing NBA teams now. And then, I guess the Nets are going to China. The Sixers went to China last year, didn't they?
Yes.
Yeah.
And then, Nets-Lakers on Thursday and Saturday in the big arenas in China.
Now, your opinion could be that, okay, this is just a private business, the NBA, and they have a little more leeway to do what they want to do for business reasons than the President of the United States, who's trying to make a worldwide statement against what he perceived to be anti-human rights and aggression and imperialistic nations. It's all a little different, but I think we supported Jimmy Carter back then because we hated Russia. 610-632-0995. 97.5. We will roll into the 3 o'clock hour right here on 97.5 The Fanatic.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most fans of country music, we're excited to learn that Luke Combs was back in the studio working on his next album. We've come up with our list of iconic Luke Combs music videos. Yes, Lovin' On You made the cut. Text Luke to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Luke to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.